We're talking about some vision things for this next year, and I have a word that's been stirring in me for me personally, and I figured that would be what I shared as my turn because it's really good. And I say that just because I needed it. This is, you know, like I always say when I come up here, if I have a word, it's because this was Jamie. You know, listen. And so Pastor Keith was here last weekend, and it was really great. If you didn't hear it, we did record it. And so you can hear that if you missed it, but we will. There is some things that we actually got to meet with him on Sunday. The leaders did, and just a little bit more of an intimate setting. And he just spoke some life into us and just some bullet point perfect, you know, just keys, just things, leadership keys. And it was really good, and it really spoke to me. And so something that really jumped out at me was just about, he briefly mentioned Jeremiah, and I've been reading in Matthew, and I was on my way there, and I opened my Bible, and I got distracted, and it was at Jeremiah, and I was like, you know, just one of those, like, just read this, and I was like, no, like, I'm going to go to Matthew. Like, I don't feel like Old Testament this morning. It was only 1.5 cups of coffee, and I was like, okay, Jesus, because I really felt like he was saying, read this. So I read it, and it just so happened to be the exact same verse he mentioned the day before, and I was like, okay, I'll read it. So I'm just going to read for a little bit. I forgot my New Living Translation at home, who I'm going to be reading from the New King James. I'm sure most of you probably have that. The other one was a little bit easier to understand, but we're going to make this work. And Dad is not here tonight. Y'all pray for him because he is sick. He's not feeling well. And I haven't felt good this week. I was in bed for a couple of days, and I cannot hear out of my left ear at all right now. It is so strange. So I'm sure that we all had amazing voices. You know what? And I know I'm supposed to be talking about vision, but Robin, thank you just for stepping up. And thank you for letting everything that Jesus has inside of you just come out. What you started with from, oh yeah, I can play keyboards. Man, you just, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that you, you know, if I'm like, hey, can you do this? You're like, yeah, sure. And then just let it go. And I'm like, yay. I'm like, I can't sing. So she's got it. But I'm like, I don't, it was great. I appreciate it. Let's just make her feel really uncomfortable and clap for her now. Just because I appreciate you and you're awesome. The whole team is awesome. I appreciate all of you guys. So I'm going to be reading chapter 19. I'll skip a little bit. I won't read all of this, and we'll go into 20 a little bit. Jeremiah 19, in verse 1, it says, thus says the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen flask, and take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests. So he's saying, I want you to go buy a clay pot. That's what he's saying. And I want you to get some of the church leaders from here and from here. And go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words that I will tell you. And say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring such a catastrophe on this place, that whoever hears of it, his ears will tingle. Okay, so this is a garbage dump where he's taken them. They've gone through the city gate. And so just imagine he's like, okay, look, Jeremiah, I want you to go buy a clay pot. I want you to go out to 1442. I want you to get all the leaders of Vider, all the church leaders, and, you know, the Southeast Texas, bring them out to 1442. Go on to the garbage dump and buy a clay pot. I'll tell you what to say when you get there. Okay, so that's what's going on in Jeremiah's world right now. All right? So that's where we are. When you get there, say this. Hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, you people that are there with him. Listen. Behold, I will bring such a catastrophe on this place that whoever even hears of it, his ears will tingle. Because they have forsaken me and made this an alien place, because they have burned incense and to other gods whom they never, who their fathers nor their fathers nor their, I cannot read. Neither they, their fathers, nor their kings of Judah have known and have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. They're worshiping other idols. They've made things and they are not God. They are not what their fathers did. You know, they have way moved on. They've also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with the fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command them or tell them to do. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says God, that this place shall no more be called Tophet or the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. And I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by their hands of those who seek their lives. Their corpses I will give as meat for the birds of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. I will make this city a desolate and a hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hissed because of its plagues. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. And everyone shall eat the flesh of his friend in the siege and in the desperation with which their enemies and who those seek their lives shall drive them to despair. Then you shall break the flask in the sight of men who go with you and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, even so I will break this people in this city as one breaks a potter's vessel. This is why I told him to buy the clay pot, which cannot be made whole again. He throws it down, he breaks it. And they shall bury them in Tophet until there is no place to bury. I will do this. Thus I will do to this place, says the Lord, and to its inhabitants, and make this city like Tophet. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled like the place of Tophet because of all the houses on whose the roofs they have burned incense. So it's all these people, okay, they've been burning idols there. He's going to destroy it. It's like, look, this is what's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's a whole pot. It will literally be like this. It cannot be put back together. You know, when you drop ceramic, you know, there are those little bit of tiny pieces. It's not going back. You can do your best. You can glue it. But like, I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. Stop. This is what's going to happen if you don't. Then Jeremiah came from Tophet where the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house, and he said to all the people, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on this city, on all her towns, all the doom that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their necks that may not hear my words. Now, I didn't plan on reading all that, but I guess backstory is a little is good. I'm not going to say this right, so we're going to go with for sure. Is that right? Is that how you say it? Pashur. Now, Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, he heard that Jeremiah said that. He said that, okay? He's top dog. Then Pashur struck Jeremiah the prophet, and he put him in the stocks and out in the front in the courtyard in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And the next day, Pashur brought Jeremiah out of the stocks. He said, okay, you can let him out. And he said, then Jeremiah told Pashur, the Lord has not called your name Pashur now, but now you will be Magor Misabib. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and your eyes will see it. Okay, so I'm not going to keep reading. You go and read it. If I had the other version, I'd probably read more, but yay, New King James. Okay, so they didn't listen. So he stands in the house of the Lord, and he's like, look, this is going to happen now because you got your stiff necks. You're not listening. You're not being obedient. Well, the son of this high priest throws him in the stocks. He doesn't like what Jeremiah has to say. He's, you know, they're saying you're going to destroy our land. You're going to make it, you know, like we're going to eat each other. It's horrible, the things that was being prophesied. Threw him in stocks. The next day he's like, okay, let him out. And he's like, look, because you did that, because you're not listening, you know, this is what they will call you now. I had a translation of this written down now, but I forgot it. The Lord has not called your name Pashur, but Magor Misabib. And I don't have it that says what that actually meant, but it wasn't good. It was something wrong. Do you know it? Terror on every what? Terror on every side. A man of terror or something like that is what I read. And so that's what people are going to call you now. They're not even going to call you Pashur anymore. They're going to call you this. That's what they're going to know you by. So just know that. That's going on, okay? So the next chapter, or further on in the chapter, Jeremiah is, he begins to talk to Jesus. He begins to let him know how he feels. He begins to, you know, get alone when nobody's around and just let him have it. Oh, God, you didn't just forsake me. You, like, forsake me. You told me to do this. You told me to do this with the pot. You told me to go and take them there. You told me to say these things. Look what they're doing to me. Look what they're saying to me. Jeremiah was being completely, completely ridiculed. Way more than just, you know, hey, yeah, okay, God said that. Yeah, okay. All those things that he said God was going to do, you know, like the hissing thing and the terror, they begin to call Jeremiah that. What they said that the prince was the son of this high priest was going to be called. They begin to taunt him with that and mock him. Like, oh, yeah. You know, oh, come on, think of your best. These are your friends. They just completely betray you. They completely mock you. Yeah, okay, God said that. Yeah, God told you to build a church. God told you to plant that church. God told you to go give that person money. God told you to let them move into your house. You know, God told you to go adopt that kid. God told you. Yeah, we know. We can see how well that's working out for you. You just fill in the blank, okay? He's being completely mocked, completely ridiculed. He knows he heard from God. But now he's like, God, Lord, you induced me and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted violence and plunder because of the word of the Lord was made to me, a reproach and a derision daily. And then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. He's like, God, it hurts so bad. Like, I'm done. I'm not going to speak of you anymore. I'm not going to give your words anymore. I'm not going to talk about you anymore. I am done. It hurt me, God. It hurt me, God. He's being completely real with Jesus. It hurt. You told me to do this, and I did it, and look at what they're doing to me. Look at the way they're treating me. It hurts. It hurts. You completely abandoned me. I'm done. I can't. And something that Keith said Sunday that I never really thought about before is this next verse that people take out of context. And I know you all have heard it. It says, I'm not going to say your word anymore. But his word was a fire in my heart, like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary of holding it back and I couldn't. Look, yeah, we can say that. You may have a good word and like, man, I just got a good word. I got to share it. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. You ever heard that? If you've been in church and you've heard that. And there's nothing wrong with that, sure. But there's a difference in a good word and a God word. You may have a good word all day long. It may not be what God wants to say. He is at the lowest of the low. He has lost all of his friends. He has lost any respect with any leaders. He is hurt. Well, because it doesn't look like God's come through yet. He's just being real with God. Come on, we have those moments. His just was recorded down in history. This is what he's saying. It hurts. God, I can't even, it hurts so bad. He goes on later to say, it would have been better if I'd never even been born. It's like, it hurts so bad. I don't even want to speak your name anymore, but it's just like this fire inside of me. It's consuming. It's like, it's shut up in my bones and I can't not say anything. So that's the difference between a good word and a God word. And that is righteousness. And that is my vision for the next year. Just absolute obedience, radical obedience. There may be things all day long that sound good. There may be things everywhere I look, every song I hear, like, man, that's really good. I like that. There are going to be plenty of things that make your life better that are good things. That's what good things are. Good things are good. So they'll make your life better. But is it a good thing or is it a God thing? Radical obedience is me saying, I have lost everything. Righteousness, to be in right standing with God, is to say, everything has left me. God, even you have forsaken me. But it is so inside of me, and I believe it so much, and I am so dependent on this word that I can't help but to share it. That is radical obedience. That no matter what has left me, I can't not share the word. I can't not tell people what he's done for me. I can't not say, look what God did. I know you can mock me. You can call me that, Bible thumper, whatever, all day long. I don't care. It is inside of me so deep and at the lowest of our lows. That is radical obedience. That is when it's like a fire that it consumes us and we have to let us out. When the whole world is turned against us. More than a good word burning in him, it was radical obedience. It wasn't just something that, God said this and I heard God say something. You know, that's what was inside of him that was burning. Radical obedience. Ask yourself this next year, am I being radically obedient? This is the word that I got today, and man, I just thought, thank you, God, that's exactly what I needed for me. There are good things and there are God things. We know that. There are good things and there are God things. And good things may not be God things. Are they bad things? No. They may not even be from the devil. But they may not be from God. Is it good or is it God? John Bevere's got a book. Is it good or God? I encourage you to read it. It is really good. But is it a good thing or is it a God thing? Nothing about sin looks nasty on the outside. The after effects are. But if sin wasn't pleasing or enjoyable, nobody would sin. I mean, if it wasn't fun to do, you know, those things, nobody would do it. If there wasn't enjoyability in getting drunk, there wasn't enjoyability in looking at naked people, there wasn't enjoyability. I mean, you hear what I'm saying? So it may be good things, but it doesn't mean they're God things. There are good things and there are God things. Here it is. Good things will fulfill your desires. That's pretty good, huh? Good things will fulfill your desires, but God things will fulfill your destiny. There are so many things in my life that I desire, and I would look at it as a good thing if it were to happen, and I would say, I might even say, thank you, Jesus. I mean, I was like, man, that's good. That's exactly what I've been wanting. But radical obedience and righteousness is when I can say, God, that is exactly what you wanted. I don't just want the good things. You see, with God, I'll get the good things. The good things are good, so they'll probably make life better. But God things make life best. Good things are good for a reason. They're good. They're going to make life better. But God things make life best. Make a decision. Make a decision this year. I just want the good things. Reevaluate. God, okay, just check my heart. What is inside of me, even something I want, even a desire of mine, if it were to happen for me, if it were to happen for me, would it just be good or would it be God? So I'll just read that one more time. Good things will fulfill your desires, but God things will fulfill your destiny. Amen.
Well, it's kind of hard to follow up on a sermon. Awesome job, by the way. Really good. I pulled up my Bible app on the phone because I wanted to share this. But, you know, this year I feel like is a big year for our church. It'll be 5 years this March. And in the beginning, you know, she talked about the hard thing that God would ask you to do or tell you to do. For us, I know for Paul and I, you could tell us, go to a Muslim nation where the chances are very high that you're going to get your head cut off or hung or whatever for the gospel. And we'd be like, yes, let's go. I mean, we're the kind of people you have to tell to stay. Where most people, you know, God has to tell to go. We love to go for the gospel's sake. To the dangerous places, to the worst places, to the nastiest dumps in the world where the gospel is needed. That is easy. But to stay, that's a different thing. That, for us, is the hard thing. So for each person, it's different. And some of us are the same. Some of us are the type that, you know, it's not going to the, or it's not staying that's hard, or going that's hard is something else. So God tells you to do things. It may be in your workplace. It may be your neighbor. It may be whatever that God's telling you to do. It may even be a family member you haven't talked to in 20 years because of a bad thing that happened that you reach out to and you begin to talk to. Is it hard? Oh, yes, very. But it's got to start somewhere. This church had to start somewhere in this town. So the hard thing for us was to stay and to start and to pastor. That is the hard thing for us. You know, start a church, pastor a church. Because when God spoke that to us, our immediate response was no. Not going to do that. Don't want to do that. But we knew it was God, and God said do it, so we did. Now we're in our fifth year coming up, and we've seen God be faithful. We've seen Him, you know, just like Jamie preached about, go to this spot, do this thing, start this thing, and just a wild thing, and then go through all of the challenges that come with that, all of the pain, the brokenness, the difficulty that comes with obeying God. Because when you obey God, everything is not wonderful. When you really obey Him, it is not roses all the time. But even when the challenges come and the pain comes, when the joyful times come, they're even sweeter. They're even better. Because you look at that and go, wow, God is faithful, just like Keith preached about. God is always faithful. And when He tells us to set out and do something, and He puts us in a place like Jeremiah, He told him to do the pot and go to this place and do this thing. When He told him to do that, there's a reason. And just like Jamie shared about that thing going around on Facebook, you know, somebody, you know, that seed was planted years before Zacchaeus needed a tree to climb up in. Somebody had to come here and plant a tree years before. And I don't think it's going to take years. I think that this thing is coming to a point where what we have believed for as a group, as a body, is not just for this church, but for every church in this city to speak a blessing over them. And every church is a part, every person, every believer is a member, just like a body. You know, there's an arm, there's a leg, there's a head, there's all these things. We're interconnected. We want to work together. We may not agree on everything. In fact, we don't. But that's okay. The main thing that we agree on is Jesus. The main thing we agree on is that you have to ask Jesus Christ into your heart to be saved. That is the most important thing. So in a vision for this year, you know, our job in Ephesians 4, actually 7 through 11, I'm not going to read it, but it talks about we are given for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. So when we're called, when you're called, when I'm called, whoever it is, when you're called to ministry, you're called to equip others to do the work of the ministry. And obviously God called us here to equip the saints to do the work. Now who does the work? Not just us, the saints. We need you to do your part too. We do our part, we need you to do your part. Because we're here to equip you to step out and do something. Now, that can be different for every person in here. It is different. Some people are to help. Some people are to, you know, do different things. Some people are to share the gospel. Some people are to preach. Some people are to worship. whatever it is God has called you to do. And let me tell you something, just going back to what we were saying earlier, what I was saying, usually it's the thing you least want to do. It's the most difficult thing. Because if it was easy, then, you know, it'd be easy. But the fact that it's difficult, to me, indicates that it's God. Indicates that we have to rely on Him for whatever that is. So in a vision for this year, I feel like we are at a place where, stepping into our fifth year, there's going to be a major transition in this church. We're going to begin to grow. The outreach center is just about ready to open. We are so close. We just we have the money, but we need some more to come in. We're about $200 away from buying glue, basically, and the flooring's already here. We had a Baptist church in this town that we are not even really like extreme friends with give us $3,000 worth of flooring for free. So we're going to go buy the glue and just start laying it, putting it down. Now, it's bright blue, and it don't match anything in that room. But that's okay. God gave it to us, and we're going to use it. And people are going to come in here, and it's going to be a conversation piece for years to come. Why did you put a blue floor down? Well, that was God's idea. So, it'll definitely be a continual thing for however long it's down. Of course, we're still believing for... You know what's funny to me? I look back and I think, a church of our size in people, just being having traveled all over the world and nation, seeing different churches, congregation sizes and people, to be the size that we are and have what we have is a God thing in itself. I mean, just think about how big of a space we have. I was talking to a neighbor just the other day, and they were like, "You got what? You got this space, and this space?" Yeah. God did it. We didn't. Literally, every time, including this space here. Just to give a point, we drove by this one, saw a sign, called about it, got it. I came on a day that I was supposed to be working. I was working. I never stopped at that point. I was working all the time, just a crazy amount of work, and saw a U-Haul over here. They were moving out, made a phone call, got that space. Then this neighbor over here he comes over and says, "Hey, tomorrow I'm going to tell the landlord, but I haven't told him that yet, so don't say anything. We're moving out." They've been there 25 or whatever years, a long, long time. But when we call and tell him, when we talk to him, "I'm going to call you, and you call him and get it." So God has done these things for a reason. It's confirmation to me that we're supposed to be right here in the heart of this city, in the middle of this city, in this area. This church is supposed to be here. What reason is God's reason? But the point is this, the vision for this year is God has done all these things and lined up all these things and created this space. Not for it to stay the way it is now, but for it to be filled. To be filled with more people. People that know Him. People that don't know Him. People that will know Him. people that are called to be equipped for the work of the ministry, not just to affect this town, but this region. And not just this region, but the world. To reach out and impact places that we are not able to touch alone. See, we're to equip the saints for the work of the ministry because we cannot do it by ourselves. No one person in this room can do it all alone. We have to have one another to reach the world, to share the gospel, to spread the gospel. So I see a transition this year in the fact that foundation is laid, equipping has been happening, will continue to happen, and there will be transition and change in ways that we are not fully aware of or even expecting to be done. But those changes, as they come, God is in those changes. God has arranged those changes. And God has set up things in such a way that you and I, you know, us as well, we are equipped to do the work of the ministry together, to reach the city, to reach this region, and to reach the world. But I really firmly believe that when we open this outreach center and we begin to get back into doing more outreach stuff, and we have a place where people come and they get familiar with a place that's open, that we do community meals or whatever ideas God gives us and gives you too, and we begin to do those things, and they have a common place to come and receive whatever they need, food, clothing, whatever. But as they do that, receive Jesus and receive the gospel, hear the message of the gospel, and experience God in a way that they haven't before. Or maybe they have and they need it again. Whatever that is. But as we open that and we work together with other ministries and churches, as God has opened those doors in the past and will in the future, even more so than He has in the past, that as those things happen, we grow together with the body of Christ, not just one church, but other churches, many churches. And so I believe that this year we are going to grow as a body, as something distinct and individual as we are, because we are very different than many, and that is a God thing, not just a good thing, but a God thing. And so that difference is a part of the kingdom. That difference in who we are and what we are is a part of the kingdom, and it is a God purpose for this region and for the world. And so I just believe that, and I see that. And so I see great change coming about, not just for us as a church, but for this city and for this region. We have had major changes in our city, and we've seen great things happen, but there are much bigger things to come. And there, you read it in Scripture, and I've seen it in the world and in places. And I even posted about it a couple of weeks ago. Small keys open big doors. You know, Jesus went into regions and places, and there was a key. He healed one person, and the whole region opened up. He went to one woman at a well, and a whole city got saved and come out to meet Him. We need that key to this region. I believe this year is the year that we receive that key, that we find that God gives that key. Someone at a well, someone at a certain place, whatever it is, and it is wide open. And just like that woman at the well, He told her all her business. Next thing you know, there's thousands of people or hundreds or whatever coming out to meet Jesus at the well. We open this building. Something happens out here somewhere from one of you or us or whoever. And suddenly they come out. And a city meets Jesus. A region meets Jesus Christ. And so I think and I believe that we'll see those things happen this year. We'll see things happen that we go, because we've seen things like this that it just doesn't make sense. We shouldn't have all this. But God's given it. He's given it for a reason. And the reason is He's going to fill it. He's going to use us to do that as a body. So, Paul, if you want to come up.
You agree with that? Amen. A couple of things I want to share quickly. You know what Rick was talking about, equipping, and you know, you've heard that a few times, and it's always good to hear again, right? I love that. It's a good reminder for us of our job and what God, why God has put us here. You know, one of the things that in the equipping, what we want to do this coming year is we want to be more intentional with the equipping. What I mean by that is if you feel called to the body of Christ to teach, or if you feel called to the body of Christ to preach, evangelize, or whatever it may be that you feel called to do, or just it may just be, you know, that God's given you a specific vision for, I don't know, whatever it is. There's all kinds of things that God does. And if we have a little bit of the knowledge or experience, or if we can find someone who is, then we will allow that opportunity to take place. You know, it's important. If you have a call to teach or you have a call to preach, then you need to surround yourself sometimes with people that do that to learn and, you know, to grow in that. You know, Paul talks to Timothy about studying and showing yourself approved. Well, that's not just in the Torah. It's not just in the Bible, but also, you know, if we could perfect what we do, if we could find ways, you know, I know it took me a long time and still am learning that I could tell when the anointing is on something that I'm speaking and when I have totally missed the mark. Or when I've gone too long, the Holy Spirit over here about 20 minutes ago said, shut up, and I'm still talking. Those are things that you learn from experience. But if we can take 10 years off of your experience by teaching, we'll do that. Or avoid some of the holes along the way, you know, we'll do that. So that's part of your vision that you write down. If you feel like God has spoken to you or given you a hint or a vision, or you know what, if you just want to try it one time, it was something that I never wanted to do, just FYI. We don't want to just give you the opportunity, but if we have means to teach you, we want to do that. We want you to grow, because that's what I feel like the Lord has done this past year. We have not increased much by numbers, but we have increased in depth. To me, if the body of Christ would just know who they were, just know, like Miss Wanda prayed, that we're all leaders and we're all called to the ministry. If we can convince the body of Christ as a whole that that's their job, Okay. We're good. But part of the growth in the body of Christ, unfortunately, the enemy has taught us in many ways, many voices, that saints, yes, we are, but we're, you know, there's a hierarchy. Preachers, all the fivefold ministry is up here, and the rest of the congregation is down here. That's not reality. There is a place of honor, and that is very much appreciated as a leader in the body of Christ, because we lay down our lives. But you are not out of the equation of things. You have a responsibility too. You have a responsibility to this role just as much as I do. If we get a hold of that, there's nothing going to stop us as the body of Christ. So I believe that's what the Lord has done this past year, is that He's made that foundation a little bit firmer in us. You know, we were talking to Keith, and he travels so much, and he's been in so many churches and different nations and stuff, and we were talking to him, and we were bragging, as we always do, about you guys, and we told him, we were like, you know what, there's most of our people come out for outreach. You know, when we have a big event and they're not working, then they're going to work alongside us. So we were telling him, and just what we're able to do financially and stuff, and he was like, man, that's incredible. He was like, yeah, we know. We know. So one of the things that I feel like the Lord is saying, that is kind of just a whatever. One thing I feel the Lord is saying is there's a seriousness in the Spirit this year. It's okay. A seriousness. Yes. We have, like what Jamie was talking about, radical obedience, and we feel just the seriousness of the next season. And with that said, we have felt for some time, you know, the end of last year, that the Holy Spirit began to really push about holiness. Really push about holiness. And really push about intimacy with Jesus, and not allowing that to be second, I guess I could say. But having holiness and intimacy as our main focus in our daily lives, right? We all know that those things are personal choices. Those are not things that the Lord is going to bend our will to make us do. He's not the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman. He comes in. His job is to convict the world. It convicts us of sin, right? He does that very well. Very well. So holiness, allowing the Holy Spirit to go in deep. Go in deep. Intimacy with the Lord, keeping Him as a priority. Those things are very serious things, but I feel like this, if those things are not fully grasped, and what I mean by that is allowing those things to be digested into us spiritually. If I'm going to position myself where, Lord, I want to be so in tune with Your Spirit that immediately when I say or do something out of my mouth, that immediately I feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and I'm radical to get rid of it and to change my behavior. And all of that is birthed out of intimacy, because I want nothing to interfere with my relationship with the Lord. So those two things we've digested, right? Or are digesting continuously. And out of that comes a vision.
out of that comes something that I feel like I have built or that I'm building. I talked about building this church. It has been through pain, and it has been through joy, and it has been through, God, I love your people, so I'm going to go today. Right? No, we were always pretty transparent on how we feel about this. So, feel like the Lord is saying this. Take this thing that you have, that you feel like God has called you to, and just place it on my altar. So if there's dreams or there's visions in you, and there's things that even maybe you've done in the past and you feel comfortable with those things. So if, like, I called on someone right now that's been a preacher before and has preached tons of times and has preached years of times, and I called you up and you preached and you feel comfortable in that position, I feel like the Lord is saying, go ahead and lay that down. Lay it down. Surrender everything to me, even those things that make your heart skip, those things that excite you to do. You know, there's been times in my life that the Lord has, you know, just like Abraham with Isaac, and God asking for the promise. There was a time before I was able to go on to Africa that the Lord told me, he was like, do you love me more than the mission field? I was like, well, of course. He's like, then give it. Give it to me. If I tell you now that you'll never go, Are you okay with that? Am I enough? Am I enough? Is he enough for us? Because you know what? If he is, then I will position myself in holiness and intimacy with him. And I will allow him to take those things out of me and to burn those things out of me that are not of him. Because this coming year, while we're focused on doing and being obedient to what he says, I have to be obedient as much as laying things down that may not be his idea or his dream or his thing. Am I making sense? So when I stand before that wall and I write something down, no, I don't want to be frivolous in what I want to do for him. I don't want to be frivolous on what I want to see. I want to do it in such a way that, God, I know that there may be a hint of me in this, and I don't want a hint of me. I want all of you in it. Because you see, whatever's all of him is going to be completely satisfying to me. Because when I get in the mix of things, in the mix, I usually mess things up. So as a church, we desire to be obedient in what he says. We press into God to do what he wants us to do. But I don't want to do it with my opinion attached to it. I want to do it because, you know what? I have sat before the Lord. I have allowed him in his holiness. I have allowed him to purify my motives. And I have allowed him through intimacy with him to love on me and to build in my heart and mind what he truly has. We don't want to build our kingdom. We don't want to build our kingdom. We don't want to build our ministry. We want to build what God wants. We want to build his kingdom. And it may not look like anything we've ever done before. So be it. Who cares? Right? As long as when I come before the Lord and He says, you've done what I've asked, I'm good. I'm good. That's what I want. So in a transition, in beginning this year, yes, we are farther than we normally are when we do this kind of thing. We want to lead and we want to run after God, but we want to do it in such a way that completely pleases Him. Completely. A lot of times we were talking, a lot of times, you know, God gives us a word to do something. And we'll say, you know what, He must have told us to do that because of this reason, and because of this reason, and because of this reason. That's why He told me to do that. But the reality is sometimes those three reasons may not even be on His radar. So when we come before the Lord to do this, and I want to spend some time just worshiping before we go up and do that, we want all of us to be on the same page in this. We don't want to hold on to what we've always known. Because sometimes during a season, God may say, let me have that and take this instead. And it may look nothing like you've ever imagined. Nothing. And that's the cool thing about Jesus. You know, some of us, it's obvious that we are called to preach and called to teach and love doing that and get encouraged and when spending time in the Word to do that, to prepare and get excited about sharing things with the body. And some are so good at helps. Thoughtfulness, I'm not that thoughtful. The people who serve in Flow and Helps ministry, when you think of the next step of things. So tonight, as we think about what we desire to see, or we desire to do, or what we desire to grab hold of in 2019, you know, there are obvious things in our hearts. Obvious things to me. We always say, you know what, I want to grow in the Lord. Well, we always want to grow in the Lord. We should. If not, I don't know. Something's wrong. We'll talk about it later. We always want to be a better friend or a better wife or a better husband. We want to be better. You know, we fall in love with Jesus, set our hearts to know Him. All of those things kind of flow, right? I know I'm a lot better mom when I've had sufficient time with Jesus. So let's pray. And then, if you would, Chris, get put that on, please, sir. I know that Jesus' desire, He wants to give us the desires of our heart. I know He does. Because I'm a mama. It's the cool thing about being a parent, isn't it? That you experience a different part of the heart of God. You know that He desires to give His children the desires of our heart. I know that because what wouldn't we give to our children? Man. If I had the world, I'd give it. But I have someone better. And I'm giving him. Right? Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for your presence, Lord. God, things that you have spoken tonight. The radical obedience, Jesus. God, being equipped and growing and filling this place, Lord. Those are all so awesome. God, you promise us. Lord God, I ask you to give us strength. I ask you, God, to give us courage. I ask you, Lord, to give us boldness, Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you empower your kids, that you empower us to do the work that you've set before us, God. But before the work, Jesus, I pray, God, that we embrace your holiness because your word says, blessed are those that are pure in heart, for we shall see God. God, we desire to see you, and out of intimacy flows the desire to be holy, the desire to be like you. And Lord, I ask you, God, to begin to stir everyone a little deeper. And those things that we desire, those things that we desire to do for you, those visions, God, that you've given us, the dreams that we've had, God, I pray that even those, Lord, you will purify those within our heart, that we will see ourselves truly doing what you desire, Lord. And it may have been from years ago, Lord, even if it's something that we've forgotten about, God, I ask you to bring those to life, Lord. We speak life over those in Jesus' name. May we be so bold to lay them on their on your altar and allow you to consume them and build them exactly the way that you desire. God, I pray for the one that as a little girl had dreams and visions of you even before they knew you. And they discounted it, God. Lord, I pray that you spark those things again in them, Lord. I pray that you truly, God, visit us in the night seasons, Lord. We want to do everything, God, according to your will. And I thank you that you don't make that hard for us. Jesus, we thank you, Lord.